5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary from His Light. And it is a glorious Tuesday afternoon here in Jacksonville. Spring has arrived. And I don't know, it's beautiful out there, Doug.
Yeah, it's a great day. Got a little crispness to the air, you know.
It was a little crispy this morning.
Yeah, little crispy, cool. I would say cool, but anyway, you know, it was a beautiful day. Oh,
I love the spring. You know, just love it.
Yeah, I wanted to let our listeners know. A dear brother went to be with the Lord this morning, very, very early. Brother Jack Turpin, who was associate pastor at Ponte Vedra Presbyterian Church, and I had the chance to visit with him yesterday and a couple of days ago, and he was in transition then, and he finished well. He was a brother who lived his life well. He'd struggled with some health issues for the last part of his life, but he was on my board, the board of His Light Ministries, and was a dear brother, always brought the devotions. He was a good mentor and really, really good theologian and a great lover of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so he finished well. As much as his health had been deteriorating over the years, every Thursday he went and taught, and he taught when he could on Sundays and was just a good brother. So we pray for Debbie and her two boys who will be missing him, but we grieve as those who have hope because yes. We know that he's with Jesus and we know we'll see him. And so,
well, and I appreciate you saying what you said. He finished strong. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about, what do you want people to say about you when you're gone? I hope it's they'll say that he finished strong.
Yeah, I finished, you know, he finished following Jesus. I mean, he finished doing what God created him and us to do.
Well, the fact of the matter is, Doug, most of us won't know when the finish is.
Yeah.
And so how will they say you finished strong if you aren't in constant pursuit of Christ?
Exactly. We started with this yesterday, and it's just continued to, I think, steamroll, at least in my heart. I've had multiple conversations with different people about this whole issue of being a witness for Jesus. And, you know, we get so distracted and bogged down. And I meant to bring this up yesterday. We talked about this article in the New York Times by a lady named Pagan Kennedy. How'd you like that name?
I saw that.
Pagan Kennedy. The headline was "No Magic Pill Will Get You to 100," and the subheading was "The Not So Delayed Deaths of the Scientists Who Devoted Their Lives to Longer Lives." And it was just really interesting that this lady went and she researched all these people who spent their life trying to help extend our lifespan. And, Moeller was talking about it. He quoted the article and was talking about, one time somebody came up to him, asked him, who was the most credible faith healer to talk to? And he just said, I wouldn't talk to anybody who's less than 300 years old, which just sounds like mm-hmm. him, you know.
Yep.
But basically, that we spend our lives chasing the anti-aging longevity, all that whole stuff, you know, Whole Foods, Fresh Market, they've made a fortune off of people, you know, charging you $8 for a $3 chicken, you know, and calling it organic. They slap an organic, you know, grain fed, not in a cage. And the funny thing is, people don't even know. Nobody sees these places they get from. Now, listen, there may be good organic places that are doing it, but unless you raise the chicken yourself and do it, you're just on blind faith. And the truth is, there's a lot of deception in that industry where people are making a profit because they know if they slap organic on it, they can ask more money. But Lori and I talk a lot about this. She's always given me grief. But one of these guys that she had researched in this article was a guy named Dr. McKay, who they do all their research on rats, right? Mm-hmm. And then they take and equate that. And so they gave this one rat, you know, a very strict diet. And the other rat, they just fed. And the one rat was trim and athletic, you know, and I mean, as far as rats go, I guess, how do you tell if a rat's athletic?
What rat are you?
Yeah, I know. So anyway, the diet, according to Dr. McKay, seemed to act like a time machine. And the hungry rats had this really good glossy coat of hair, but their well-fed counterparts were shabby and they died early. And so he took that and transported over to say, hey, you know, you need about a 1600 calorie diet. I eat that like in a snack, but he was promising people 120 years. He died at 69. Even though he was very athletic, had two strokes before the age of 69 and died at 69. So when you think about all this, the futility of man to try to extend his life. And the Bible says, you know, the age of man is what, 70? Mm-hmm. And some 80, mm-hmm. which typically is about now. Are there people who live to be 100? Sure. Nobody lives to be 150. You know, I mean, at some mm-hmm. point, we all go to that place. And if that's true, then we're seeking that never-ending life. Why wouldn't we seek Jesus? Hmm. Jesus is the only answer to a never-ending life. And I think sometimes we forget about that. You know, we forget that we get trapped in the trappings of the world. And, I mean, I see it all the time, and you do too, when you talk to guys and you get involved in their lives, and people are chasing not have stress in their life. They're trying to chase the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so
it's not. I mean, I think we're all, you know, it's this pursuit to know what life holds, forgetting who holds life.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, we want so desperately to know what tomorrow brings, but we need a reminder who holds tomorrow. You know, in his hands. I mean, he has it all, and you know, I'm just I think as we even kind of continue in what we were looking at yesterday, that we have the ministry of reconciliation. What does that look like for us? I was sharing with the guys this morning over in Tuesday morning group, just, you know, that God has given us this ministry of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing with that? Are you engaging in the lives of other people, your family, you know, as you talked about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the earth?
Yeah. And you know, we're not talking about you having to stand up in your living room with a Bible, mm-hmm. waving it in the air, mm-hmm. giving a 4-point sermon that you spend hours researching. All we're talking about is being a witness. Now, should you be well-read in the Bible? Absolutely. But the key ingredient to anybody being a witness of Jesus Christ is knowing Jesus Christ. How can you know him and not talk about him? You can't. He's the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me, and I know it's ever mm-hmm. happened to you, and you can't help to talk about it. So why don't we? The enemy keeps us paralyzed. And, you know, Maisel said, my friend John Maisel said, we have an epidemic of silence in the church where we're just silent, and you can't be a silent witness. You know, people aren't going to know who Jesus is. They're not going to know that he's the source unless we take them Jesus.
You said something a couple of weeks ago at our SWAT Bible study here at the Salem Center. You probably shared this with the rest of the SWAT studies, that, you know, if we're unwilling to share Christ when there is no cost, who's to say we're going to share it when there is cost?
Somebody puts a sword to your neck mm-hmm. and says deny Jesus. You know, I mean, I don't know, Brad. I'm really just I was so convicted that you know, in this conversation the other day with this friend, you know, we were just talking, you don't have to win an argument with people. And I think there's a perception that you have to be so well-versed, so prepared for everything they're going to throw at you, instead of simply just telling people, hey, Jesus has changed my life.
Well, I mean, just to come back and touch on what you talked about just a little while ago about, you know, whether it's your spirit, your physical nourishment, you know, eating organic, and all those are fine. I think that that's a great discipline if that's what you do. We do a fair amount of that at our house. We really try to watch what we eat, what we put into our bodies, because these bodies were given to us by God. We're to steward over them.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're so adamant about what we – I mean, listen, if you've ever gone on a diet, you've ever lost weight, there is such kind of an urgency to tell people about this diet you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's no urgency to tell people about Christ, who has saved you by his sovereign grace, his love for you.
I mean, well, a lot of times, you know what sparks that conversation, though, about the diet?
Hmm.
People going, wow, Brad, you look good. Are you doing something different? See, we don't stand out enough, first of all, in our culture, to draw comments. Why do you do that? I mean, why? You know what? You know, you don't seem very money motivated in what you do. I mean, I thought people, you know, you're different. You know, you're a different realtor. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really care about me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, a lot of times when we're out there, we get so focused in on our current circumstances. But when the sovereignty of God rules your life, when Jesus is on the throne of your heart and you rest in that, you live your life and you can deal with the diagnosis that you may not like. Mm-hmm. You can deal with people that you are close to going through difficult times, and you know it's not easy, but you have this peace and joy and this what I call the supernatural presence of God with you, that allows you to not be inhuman, because you still struggle, but it's just, you know where to look for the resources you need. And you know that God's going to give you everything you need for what he wants to accomplish. And unfortunately, often we don't get what we want. But I still think back to, I think it was Isaac Watts that wrote Amazing Grace. And, you know, you think about that guy in John chapter 9. These Pharisees are ripping him up. They're ripping his parents up. And he goes, listen, all I know is I was blind, but now I see.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's my life. I was this way, but now I'm this way. And not perfect, mind you, but there's a direction in my life that I'm loyal to Jesus, and I want to be loyal to him above everything. Now, who's loyal to somebody they can't physically touch?
Yeah, yeah.
Unless God's done something in their life.
Yeah, it's a miracle. We're going to take a quick break. If you have any questions or comments regarding that, you can send those to ask@swatradio.com. You can send that to doug@swatradio.com or brad@swatradio.com. By the way, you can join us at SWATradio.com. We'll catch you after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary. Cody at the wheel. He's only going to be with us another few days.
I know. I know.
Cody, you will
be missed. Cody, we just got you trained, man. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it took you a while. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
He just knew we were caught up. He could just hand us off now.
Hey, well, you know, Brad, we were talking about prayer, care, and share from Colossians 4, 2 through 6 yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have you reread that in a second. But, you know, we were talking about prayer, focusing on prayer yesterday, and I mentioned a couple of passages, and I wanted to just reference what they were. In Exodus 32, 32, Moses has come down off the mountain. He'd received the law of God, the word of God. He'd been with God for a long time up there communing. And he comes down and he sees the children of Israel engaged in immorality, idol worship. And he looks at them, and initially his initial response, like any human response, why in the world are you doing this? This made him upset. Mm-hmm. But he had been with God. And the Spirit of God overwhelmed him as he looked at them, and he said, Father, if you will not forgive them, then blot my name out of the book of life. Paul, over in Romans chapter 9, said the same thing, basically. He said, if I could be accursed so that these my brothers could come into the kingdom. In other words, if I could go to hell so that they could believe, I would want that. Now, that is quite a passion for people right there.
That's a depth of love we don't.
Oh, I mean, it is an unbelievable for Moses and for Paul. And that kind of depth of love only comes when you drink deeply from Jesus. And we talked about that landscape fountain, those bowls, you know, the multi-tiered bowls. And we're the top bowl. John 7:37 says, come to me, all who are thirsty, and out of you will flow living water. And that water is the Holy Spirit. And so we are that top bowl in that landscape fountain. And the next bowl is our family. The next bowl is family, friends. And the next bowl is people we don't even know. But it's just who God brings into our path. But if we're not drinking deeply daily, we're going to be dry.
Well, I think the other thing, Doug, when I think of Moses and Paul out of Romans 9, I think they, well, they clearly, you said Moses had been with God.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think when we know God and we know his, not only his love for us, but his judgment also. I mean, the wrath that is to come.
If you don't know the judgment, how are you going to appreciate the release?
The grace.
And the grace and the forgiveness.
Exactly.
That is, you know, and I think we've gotten into a kind of a rut, if you will, here in America. We all just want to talk about the grace. Mm-hmm. Just talk about the love. And people don't, I mean, when they think about, it's one thing to think about the grace of God when you've blown it in your life. Mm-hmm. But most people do not know that they are in danger of the wrath of the creator of the earth on which we stand. I mean, the God that created the very ground and everything in our earth, the creator God, we're at enmity with that God. And, you know, I heard a clip the other day somebody sent me, R.C. Sproul, who's also up in there.
Gone home. Yep.
But he was talking about how people were sharing the gospel and saying that, you know what, God loves you the way you are, and he's not angry with you the way you are. Outside of a relationship with him. Now, that's just a lie.
Right.
That is a flat-out lie from the enemy. Mm-hmm. And it breeds a contempt. It breeds a unappreciation for what God did when he let... If God felt that way, you know, his son would not have gone through that torture and the brutal death on the cross for us. But what he did was he allowed his son to come take our place. That shows the wrath. You think about that.
Yeah.
What Jesus, God, in the flesh went through for us. And so I think we have to get back to relaying to people the fact that, one, God created us for a relationship, but because of our selfishness and our self-ledness, and we're going to get into this tomorrow, is when we share, you talk about the sharing component, that we know we are in danger of the wrath of God in our current state apart from Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you can pray to God all you want. You know what prayer he's going to hear is the prayer that says, I turn from my self-led life, mm-hmm. and I repent and I turn to you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's
the only prayer he's going to hear is, I need you, Christ.
Yeah. I need Christ. And so Paul knew that. That's why, you know, Paul went from killing Christians to being almost killed by persecutors of Christians. I mean, he was stoned. He was beaten. He went through all these things. And even when he writes Colossians, he's in prison when he writes these words in Colossians 4:2-6. So read that, and we're going to come back, short revision of yesterday, and we're going to start talking today about the caring part, what that looks like, what that means in our culture.
Colossians 4:2-6. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person.
So we looked at yesterday in that passage that you know, Paul says, be devoted to, be persevering in, be watchful in prayer. And, you know, we made the statement, we need to talk to God about our friends who are not in relationship with him before we talk to our friends about God. We need to be in connection with God. And so, you know, pray for yourself. When's the last time you've prayed for yourself and asked God to motivate you to share the gospel with people, to open your eyes to see those around you that are hurting, to you know, like Andrew, who went and found his brother and Simon and said, hey, we found him, and he brought him to Jesus. How many people have you brought to Jesus? How many people have you told about Jesus? How many people have you witnessed to about Jesus? If you keep coming up with a big goose egg, it's not too late. That's a lie from the enemy too, that sometimes we think, you know what, I can't do this. And so pray and ask God, God, I ask you to give me the motivation, give me the desire, give me your eyes to see and the opportunity. And just like Paul prayed for an open door, pray for an open door. He prays and he's in prison. He says, give me the open door, so and the ability to communicate this mystery. It is not something, Brad, that people figure out on their own.
No.
They have to be kind of pointed to it. And the way they're pointed to it is God chooses to use you and me and other people to just be a witness, first of all, because, you know, it's telling somebody where the watering hole is.
Yep.
I've got the water. I've been drinking the water.
What did Spurgeon say? I'm just one beggar showing other beggars where to get food.
Yeah, that's it. But we need to be specific. And you know what? If you want to know how to pray, just start asking God to help you be authentic in your love for people, bold, courageous, patient, have humble a humble heart as you share. And you know what? Are people going to respond the way you want them to all the time? No. They may be, you know, they may get offended.
In fact, most of them won't respond want them to respond.
No. And you know what? They may ask you questions you may not know the answer to. And that's okay. You know, say, I don't know the answer to that, but you know what? I would love to get back with you on that, and we can talk about that. That's
hey, Doug,
a great question.
Has anybody ever asked you a question you didn't have the answer to?
Oh, well, lots of times, man.
it's
lots
it's
of
actually
times.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah, and sometimes, Brad, I think that's, I think it brings authenticity to us that we don't have it all figured out.
Hey, people ask me questions about real estate. I don't have the answer
to.
But you know what it does? It forces me to go get an answer.
Yeah.
Help. Let me find out. I think that's normal. I think that's good for us as we grow in our knowledge of who Christ is.
Yeah, and I think we need to be honest with people, too, because sometimes people will continue to put up what I call straw man arguments or questions to kind of just to get you to talk, but they don't really care. And I think at some point we go, you know what? You and I have been talking a lot about this, and I don't think these questions are really legitimate in the sense that you really want to know. but I just want you to know this. Jesus changed my life, and he can change yours.
I was blind. Yeah. Now I can see.
I can see, and I want to help you. And that's where the caring comes in. You know, we as we look at people, is it caring to let somebody go toward a bridge that's out and not tell them? See, we think it's loving to keep our opinions to ourselves. Mm. But when you see people around you who are hurting, and you say, you know, I'm sending positive thoughts your way. Positive thoughts do nothing. Prayer and talking to the God of all creation is something you can do. And you can say, you know what? I would like to pray for you. A lot of, you know, when somebody says I'm sending positive thoughts your way, that usually lets me know that that person really may not have a spiritual connection to the creator of the universe. Because positive thoughts, it's you know, you want to tell people, hey, I care about you, and I'm going to go and ask my dad up in heaven to help you. And you offer to pray. But Brad, one of the issues is we don't stop for people who are hurting around us too often. Yeah. We don't even notice them.
Right.
We don't even.
It's too much of a burden.
They got baggage, right?
Yeah, and I've got a plan today. And, you know, what's most important, what's preeminent is my plan, not Christ's plan.
Yeah. There was a pastor, I know you know this story, came out not too long ago. I think it was in Leadership Journal, where a pastor at a new church dressed as a homeless guy and sat in front of the church he was going to see how many people would interact with him, and nobody interacted with him. And then he goes up on stage after the 5 minutes into the service, he waited till they announced him, and he goes up on the stage, and he shows people, and everybody was like, oops. It was one of those oops moments. Yeah. So when we come back, we're going to actually look at Jesus himself, how he models stopping for those around him when we come back.
So we're to be prayerful, watchful, thankful. Mm-hmm. If you look at that verse. So we'll jump into it when we come back. If you want to join us today, we'll take some calls at third segment, 904-401-1413. You're calling outside of Jacksonville, 1-844-777-7928. Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary, Cody at the wheel. We are enjoying our last week with Cody here. He is going back to Virginia, right?
Yes, he is.
Right.
VA.
Y'all got beaches like we do?
They're not like here.
Yeah.
I've been up there.
They're not bad. It's only Virginia Beach.
Yeah, it's Virginia Beach. I actually threw up on that beach when I was in the Marine Corps. We had to do a ship landing, and we were in these armored vehicle, water vehicle things that were up and down in 4 and 5 foot swells. It was not fun. I have very bad memories of that beach.
It just sounds like he has bad memories of the beach. Not like the quality of the beach is bad.
Well, no, that's beautiful area, though. I like that area.
Well, Brad, you know, we're looking at Colossians 5, where it says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. This is the care. You know, we talked yesterday about prayer and really focusing in on verse 5. What does it mean to walk in wisdom toward outsiders and make the best use of our time? That means understanding that there's an urgency to this. And I think we've lost that somewhat. I think there's the urgency if everybody listening to this knew they only had 24 hours to live, 24 hours, what would you do different? Would you tell people about Jesus? Would you just go savor your family time? You see, I think when Paul's talking about it here, he's in prison. He knows his time is limited. And he's wanting to share the gospel at the last part of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be telling somebody about Jesus when I go. That's how I want to go. When he says walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time, he's saying that the wisdom is that we are to be caring people in the community around us, because he talks about outsiders, people outside the faith.
You know what I think of, Doug, when I see that? Walk in wisdom toward who? Insiders or outsiders?
No, it's
I think we are very good at walking with insiders, meaning, hey, if you think the way I think, if you vote the way I vote, if you go to the church I go to, I'll walk with you.
Yeah.
But if you're outside that circle, I'm not walking with you.
Well,
and yet it clearly says walk in wisdom toward outsiders. In other words, walk with outsiders.
Yeah,
do it in wisdom.
There is an implication there that you are around outsiders.
Exactly.
And we get in these holy huddles where we don't have any non-believing friends.
Right, exactly.
We kind of pull away from them. And listen, you know, God has you in places. You can meet outsiders in a lot of places. You can meet them on Craigslist. You can meet them at the YMCA. You can meet them at the grocery store. And I, you know, here's the thing. I have an eye looking for people. If I see the same person in two or three places, I'm going, okay, maybe God's wanting to connect us a little
bit. That's called watchful.
Yeah, you're just being watchful as you see people. But he talks about walking in wisdom. That means that you understand that people are looking at you, and that as you care for them, Brad, the honest truth is most people in America come across as they only care about what's going on in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And social media and the electronic devices have made that even more pronounced for us. So people, if you're listening and you're on your device all the time, you're not going to see the people around you hurting. If you're on your device all the time, every place you go and people look at you and you go down to your device because it's a security blanket for you, or you just like it because it's you want to kill time that way, you're not noticing. And it reminds me that people are watching us. You say you're a believer, you say you love God, and Jesus loved people. It reminds me of a guy, Will Houghton, who pastored Calvary Bible Church, or a Baptist church up in New York. And he was Chicago Moody's Bible Institute president.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, when he became the pastor in Atlanta, there was a man that hired a private detective to follow him around to see if he really lived what he preached.
Was this after he was hired?
Or? Yeah, it was after he was hired. But after a few weeks, the detective reported back to that man that everything he said, he actually lived out. And as a result, that man started following Jesus.
Well, I was thinking, just to go back to what we were talking about eating. You know, if I came in here and had put on 30 pounds, I told you about this great diet I was on, you probably wouldn't be that interested.
Yeah. I'm going, well, that's a different kind of diet. That's a put-on weight diet, right?
Exactly. But if my life is truly different, and again, we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about direction. We're talking about that our life is in process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, you know, when we care about people, we share with people.
We do. When you care about them, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times when we do share, they don't feel like we care. They feel like a project.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about that kind of sharing. We're talking about telling somebody where something meaningful is found that they can find, and you've experienced it. And, you know, but the biggest issue, again, is this distraction from our devices or our culture, that other things going on.
You know, it happens between you and me. You know, we can come in here and just be in our
Get in our world.
In our mode of operations, and just completely forget that you've got things going on in your world.
We've got issues mm-hmm. going on with kids and families and mm-hmm. stuff. And that's really, you know, we got guys at SWAT. A lot of stuff is happening in their life, and that's why we want guys to pray and pray for each other and know what's going on in their life. That's why we do the one-on-one, the right. Every Man a Warrior thing. And, you know, I just think Jesus gives us a great model. You know, Jesus he never hid behind gatekeepers. Hmm. You know that?
Yep, that's right.
He didn't hide behind gatekeepers.
Even though they tried to be gatekeepers, even keeping the children away.
He rebuked them every mm-hmm. time they did it. And here's the thing. I'm sorry. Mark chapter 10. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Anybody listening out there more important than Jesus? I don't think so. I don't think there's anybody in the history of the world more important than Jesus. So the most important person in the world, in the history of the world, is on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified and resurrected. That is undoubtedly the most important single or double event in history, right? That, mm-hmm. the crucifixion. So you got the most important person going to do the most important thing. Nothing more important. And the disciples, they're loving it. They're a part of it. They're part of that inside team. They're with him. They are going with him. They are like, we are focused. It says he had resolutely set his face to Jerusalem. So as they go through this town, this blind man starts screaming out, it says with an animal-like scream, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples were so focused on getting him to where he was going that they didn't even recognize the messianic title that Bartimaeus was using. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 49, three important words for evangelism that we ought to apply to our own life. It says, and Jesus stopped. He didn't have to stop. He didn't need to heal anybody else. He'd already healed people. He'd already raised somebody from the dead. But he stopped and he looked at Bartimaeus and he said, what do you want me to do for you? And I mean, Brad, there are people all around us screaming, screaming, and we are, just like the disciples, we don't have time.
I'm busy.
I'm busy doing church stuff. I'm busy doing good stuff. I'm busy doing family stuff. I'm busy doing all this stuff. And people are screaming around us saying, I'm lost. I can't see. I'm blind. I just want to see. They're screaming. And their lives are screaming. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us to be a conduit to talking to them about Jesus.
Reminds me of the time when my wife and I were down at the outlets down in St. Augustine. This was years ago. And one of our kids, I think it was Jake, who was probably no more than about 3 years old, we walked into a store. And you know how crazy it can get down there.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we turned around. There's no Jake. He's mm-hmm. nowhere to be found. But we can hear him screaming.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter what I had in my hands. It didn't matter what Vicky wanted to buy or whatever. We dropped everything we could, everything we were doing at that very moment mm-hmm. to find him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great picture of what Jesus did and how we are so, you know, we're getting so many voices coming in. We were talking about that yesterday. Just how often do we just get quiet before the Lord? How often are we prayerful? God, show me today somebody who needs to hear about Christ.
Yeah, there's just so many ways that we can care for people. And, you know, I know we're going to go to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some spiritual springboard questions that can invite conversation, because in our culture, conversation shows that you care.
Mm.
And you know, one thing, Brad, I do at restaurants is I pray for my server.
Right.
You know, as a family, we pray mm-hmm. over our meal, and I will ask the server, hey, is there any way? We pray over our meal, and we like to thank God for our food, and we also like to thank him for our server and pray for our server. Is there anything we can pray for in your life? And I will tell you, that is a great way to just show people, over the period of 20 years, we've had three or four servers leave the table in tears because they were so overwhelmed with the caring and compassion.
But you and I have been together, and we've had opportunities to do that.
Yeah.
And you actually hear what's going on in people's lives.
Exactly. And so it's a great way to show people you care. God calls us to be people who pray and people who care. And out of that caring, a bridge is usually opened up to share. You know, they want to know, why are you doing this? Why do you care? And so when we come back, we're going to talk about some questions that you can ask these people, you know, to kind of guide the conversation to Christ. So
good. Looking forward to it. If you want to join us this afternoon, we'd love for you to chime in, 904-401-1413. If you're outside Jacksonville, you can call toll-free at 1-844-777-7928. SWAT Radio. Join you after the break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary, Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. This is what we do. We want to advance truth. And no better truth than the proclamation of God's word for the salvation of the chosen.
Yeah. And you know, Brad, by the way, we're doing an outreach next week. And I'm really excited about this Paul, Apostle of Christ movie coming out. It's coming out on the 23rd, Thursday of this week, during the first segment of the show, the first half hour. We have Andrew Hyatt, who is the writer and director of the Paul the Apostle of Christ movie, and I'm really excited that we're going to be able to interview him and talk about kind of the vision behind it. And it was a great movie. Lori and I saw it, and it was really well done. Jim Caviezel, the guy who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, plays Luke. And but it really is a story of friendship between Paul and Luke, battle buddies, mm-hmm. who finished their life, at least Paul's life, you know, strong and well, like our brother Jack did, who passed away this morning. And, you know, I just I'm really excited about the opportunity for people to go. We're almost sold out of both places, and just really excited about this, having people be there. And you know what? It really wasn't a hard ask at all. I just told people, hey, I'd love to treat you to a movie. And, you know, and there's so much Bible and so much of the gospel message in the movie. It's a great conversation starter. I'm not looking to the movie to lead people to Christ. I'm the vehicle. I'm the witness of Jesus. But I'm using the movie as an opportunity to connect with people,
yeah,
and to have a common connection. And so I wanted to give some the listeners some questions that they could ask to actually if they get involved in a conversation, these are what I call spiritual springboards, kind of a, mm-hmm. a jumping into a spiritual conversation. Sure. Because I think it's hard for people sometimes to know, how do I bring it up? You know, I mean, because nobody wants to go, God, you look terrible. Can I tell you about Jesus? You know, nobody wants to do that. So, you know, sometimes you can offer to pray for people that you look who might be struggling or going through a difficult time. You can identify with times in your own life that may match up to what they're going through. You know, we all struggle with loneliness in our life at different times, failure at different times, relational struggles at different times.
Insecurities.
All those things that are common. Mm-hmm. But we have to start with the story of the listener. You know, we talked about the narrative sharing. The way to share narratively, storytelling, that's what Jesus was the master of. But we start with the story of the listener to find out where they're coming from, not necessarily to dilute the gospel, but to just know who
we're
talking. Exactly. That's like going to Russia. You can't go over to Russia, start talking to them in English and not take into account their culture at all, because what they hear may be completely different than mm-hmm. what you're trying to communicate. Mm-hmm. So here's some questions. First one is, do you ever think about spiritual things? Do you ever think about spiritual things? You know, that's a question that I've used a lot. And what I find is a lot of times people will respond to that question and say, well, I don't go to church. They mm-hmm. immediately will take it to church a lot of times. And then I go to talking to them about the difference between religion and a relationship. Because Jesus did not come to give us a religion.
Right.
He came to give us a relationship. So that's a good question. Another one is, hey, do you ever think about God, the creator? And if you do, how do you view him? Positive, negative? I mean, these are just questions to kind of find out what people are processing in their brain about the spiritual dimension, you know? What's important to you in life? That really gives you some insight into the drive of people.
You know, I was thinking, looking at that one, what are the three things that are most important in life to you? You know, one of the things, Doug, we've talked about this a lot. We're so busy moving and, you know, just kind of, we just pass each other constantly. And we're polite. Hey, how's it going? You know, but do we really stop? Even in asking the question, are we looking at that person?
And you know where the worst is at church.
Oh, sure.
When we're in worship, and hey, how you doing?
I'm
good. And blessed, your life's
blessed
falling,
and blessed and highly favored.
Your life's falling apart, and you're like, you ain't going to tell nobody. You're not going to put that out there because you don't want to be a burden to anybody.
I ran over to get a cup of coffee this morning at one of my favorite coffee places, and I ended up running into a couple of guys over there, and you know, I felt myself so quick to respond. Hey, how's it going? You know, it's this polite thing we do. Mm-hmm. How are you doing? But when I ask that question, do I really mean it? I mean, if we really mean it, hold that guy's hand, hold that lady's hand, and look him in the eye and say, seriously, how you doing?
Yeah. I mean, I learned this over in Russia, because in Russia, when you, like, people from America would go over there and they'd invite people to come see them. And then when they show up at their door, they're like, whoa, I was just being polite. You know, I mean, they didn't say that to him, but you're right. We spit things out in an effort to be nice, but we don't really follow through. And I think, you know, we need to be authentic and we need to be real and we need to care. And when you care about people, you look somebody in the eye and say, hey, how you doing? I go, I'm okay. No, really, how you're doing? Mm-hmm. How are you doing? And it may mean you need to stop working out if you're at the YMCA. It may mean you need to, you know, put your groceries on hold for a second while you're in the grocery store and say, you know what, I got a minute. Let's just take a minute. That, can you imagine? I mean, people, no, I don't want to bother you. No, really. I want to, you know. I mean, people have done that for me. And they have. Mm-hmm. And I know they've done it for you. I mean, people have been there. And so that's a good way to do it. Here's another question. What do you think about Jesus? I mean, when you hear the name Jesus, what do you think about? You know, what does that mean to you? Because Jesus is the dividing line. I mean, Jesus, You can talk about God in a general sense all day long, but when you mention Jesus, that really is where the rubber meets the road, and you're going to find out pretty quick. You can ask people, you know, who is Jesus to you? Because that is really the consummate question, Brad. Who is Jesus? Because Jesus, he's the conduit. He's the doorway. He's the shepherd. He's the one that lays down his life.
He's the answer.
Yeah, I mean, and then I asked this. We talked about your spiritual beliefs a little. How does that faith offer something different than what you believe Jesus does or not do? You know, you might be into whatever, let's just say transcendental meditation. You know, what does that offer you that Jesus doesn't? I'm just curious, you know, to know what, because I want to know.
Sure.
And I really want to ask them that. Yeah. And I want to hear what they are saying. Mm-hmm. And because a lot of people will turn to other things, not because Jesus doesn't offer them the hope and the truth that's there, but because their perception is, they don't know the Jesus that I want them to know. They know some conjured up picture of Jesus that somebody in an effort to try to win people to Christ has completely perverted who he really is and what he really wants and what he's really about.
Well, and I think that we've touched on it already, the importance of listening.
Yeah.
I mean, when you ask these questions or whatever questions you ask to engage in relationships, to engage in conversation, I think at times we can be so busy thinking about what we're going to say, forgetting that we just asked a question.
Well, it happens all the time. And you know this because I know you guys counsel people when a lot of times, even as a counselor or even as somebody who's responding to people, you're listening to them and you can be thinking about what I call a plan of attack to deal with the issue rather than really just listening to the heart. I'm very guilty of this. It's hard. You have to fight to be an active listener. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. It's active listening.
Well, I was thinking about what Jesus asked that blind man.
Mm-hmm.
What is it you want from me?
Yeah.
You had to listen.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He looked him in the eye and he said, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want to see. And he said, your faith has made you well. Well, when you think about your spiritual beliefs, here's another question. How have they influenced your decisions and motivations as it relates to your work, your marriage, your relationships? That is a really good question for people to kind of think through. Okay, I'm doing this, but is it really impacting me over here? Because I'm telling you, I'm not knocking 12 steps, not knocking AA, but all those things focus on symptoms. The root of the issue is never dealt with unless Jesus is the answer.
That's right. That's right. I can give all the good advice you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But if Christ isn't in you, if his spirit doesn't dwell in you, it's simply good advice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the answer.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Another question that's good is, you know, what problems do you see in the church or even with Jesus? That will get people talking a lot of times, man. You'll get a lot of good response from that one. How do you feel about followers of Jesus sharing their faith experience with you? That's another good question because people, you know, if you ask people that, say, have you ever had people really try to talk to you about Jesus? How did that go? You know, what do you think about that? What I found that a lot of people will talk about, well, faith is a private thing. Faith in Jesus is never private. It's a personal thing, individual between you and God through Jesus, but it's not private. And if you go and you look at Jesus, you know, the only time he told people not to tell people was there was a specific reason that he didn't want people following him for superficial reasons. And he was trying to, you know, he had a specific reason. But the most part, he told people, you will be my witnesses all over the world.
Well,
so
I love this next one. We'll maybe touch on that when we come back from the break. So
do you mean tomorrow?
There. Well, are we done?
Yeah, we're done,
oh,
Brad.
Come on.
We've got 20 seconds,
going.
Buddy.
Hey, we're going to stay here. We're going to stay here for a while. Hey, by the way, we will be back tomorrow, Lord willing.
Yeah.
Join us, SWAT Radio, yeah, www.swatradio.com.
Yeah.
And we'll jump back into the
Yeah, we'll
sharing.
Hit your question. What is it? Just throw it out there,
Hey,
Paul.
Here it is. If you were having coffee or tea with Jesus right now, what would you ask him?
Think about that. We'll come back tomorrow, and we'll talk about that.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading his truth.